This is WRAL News, your number one source for local news.
We have a level one and level two risk for severe storms across our area. I'll talk about the difference between the two and what the timeline is for the storms later today.
We give thanks as a nation and a kingdom for the extraordinary life and work of Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh.
Expressions of love are pouring in for Queen Elizabeth and the British royal family after the passing of Prince Philip. A look at his life of service in the military and alongside his wife. And good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thunderstorms are likely to develop across our area in the next few hours. Some of them could be severe. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at our threats and the timeline for all this.
That's right. So almost everybody in the viewing area is under either a level one or level two risk for severe storms. Earlier this morning, it was all just a level one risk. But just in the last couple of hours, the Storm Prediction Center has added a level two risk for some of our northern counties. So that's going to be Durham all the way up through South Hill, over toward Roanoke Rapids and everybody in between in that level two risk. The real difference here is that level two risk means that this is where we're more likely to have more widespread severe storms. Still, the biggest threat would be wind damage, but in this area, there could also be an isolated tornado. That level one risk means there would just be isolated storms that would reach severe criteria, and the biggest threat would be wind damage. We take a look at where the severe storms are now. A lot of these are down here in the southern part of Georgia, back over toward Alabama, a huge risk for severe weather down to our south, as opposed to ours, which is a level one to level two risk. Sometimes when we see storms down here along the Gulf Coast, we see that robbing some of the moisture from what's upstream, say where we are. It doesn't look like that may be the case this time, but I'll show you what we see, what we're seeing here. First of all, on our satellite view, not even a lot of cloud cover developing just yet. We take a look at Futurecast, and you can see we're nice and clear here at lunchtime. We'll watch how things progress as we head through the afternoon. The clouds begin to fill in around 3 or 4 o'clock, and then after that, some scattered storms start to pop up. It's a little bit less coverage than it was when we were talking about this during our morning newscast. Again, it may be that those stronger storms down to our south are going to rob some of the moisture, but still, there's enough instability in the atmosphere that some of these storms could become severe, especially closer to the Virginia line. We take a look at our highs this afternoon in the low 80s. That chance for thunderstorms, again, starting around 4 o'clock in the afternoon and continuing until about 8 or 9 o'clock this evening. After that, we'll have a nice quiet night tonight, and our temperatures drop back into the 60s. But tomorrow, we're going to do it all again. We'll have a potential for thunderstorms and even some severe weather possible on Sunday. We'll go through all of that on Futurecast coming up.
Makaya Thurman here in the Live Center. We are following some breaking news. More fallout for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. They have shut down yet another site, this one just outside of Atlanta, after they say a number of people had adverse reactions. In total, it was about 8 out of 435 vaccines that were administered. It happens at the Cummings Fairground. One person went to the hospital. The others had to be monitored at the site and were ultimately sent home. The CDC now evaluating incidents in Georgia, as well as Iowa, Colorado, and of course here, that issue that we were facing in Wake County. Back to you.
Meantime, we're working to learn when Wake County will start giving the Johnson & Johnson vaccine again after 18 people experienced adverse reactions. It happened yesterday at the clinic at PNC Arena. 4 people had to be hospitalized. They are all expected to be okay. WRAL's Joe Fisher is live at the clinic that is having to modify its operations today. Joe.
Jeff, yeah, this is throwing a wrench in a lot of their plans. They were supposed to have 2,300 people at this clinic getting the J&J shot. They're now switching to all Pfizer here at the PNC Arena. They did not have to cancel any appointments, but Wake County health officials tell me about 300 people self-canceled their appointments after that news came out yesterday of those adverse reactions. Here's what we know. The CDC has investigated what happened out here yesterday and has now given guidance that it is safe to resume J&J vaccinations. 18 people experienced adverse symptoms, many of them feeling lightheaded, fainting, or near fainting. That's 18 people out of more than 2,300 shots. So less than 1% of people had a reaction. Wake County says that it's now working on a plan for how to exactly use the thousands and thousands of J&J vaccines that are now sitting on the shelves. They say those vaccines vaccines will be used at some point. They're just not sure right now exactly when they will be used. I also checked in with Dr. David Wall at UNC Health yesterday. They also paused the use of the J&J vaccine at the Friday Center in Chapel Hill. Wall says 7 people had similar reactions, near fainting or fainting. Dr. Wall saying that that is very common for people who are getting vaccinated, not just with COVID vaccines, but also for the tetanus shot and other vaccines. So he says that it is still very safe to get the J&J vaccine, but moving forward at the Friday Center in Chapel Hill, they will use the J&J vaccine starting tomorrow, but ask everyone before they get their shot if they have had experience with fainting or are prone to fainting, so that they're able to kind of pay closer attention to them before they get their shot. So changing a little bit of how they're operating, but moving forward with giving those J&J vaccines. Jeff?
Also, as we reported this morning, Duke Health and Cape Fear Valley Health going on with the J&J shots. Joe Fisher, live for us at PNC Arena this noon. Thank you.
Go to WRAL.com for information on vaccination clinics happening all across the viewing area. WRAL has staff dedicated to checking on vaccine availability at health departments, medical systems, and pharmacy clinics. To see what we've learned, go to WRAL.com and look for the yellow banner that says Find a Vaccine. The same information is available within the WRAL News app.
Prince Philip, husband of British monarch Queen Elizabeth II, has died. He was 99 years old. Within the last 15 minutes, the royal family issued another statement. First, though, we do want to begin with Keir Simmons, who shows us how Prince Philip will be remembered.
From the beginning, life conspired to make Prince Philip his own man. He was born in Greece, into that country's royal family, and exiled with them when he was still a small child. A Spartan education in northern Scotland moulded a tough-minded achiever. He saw action on several battleships during World War II, a brilliant and brave naval officer. His 1947 wedding to Elizabeth lifted the spirits of post-war Britain. The next year, Prince Charles was born. 3 more children would follow. At age 96, after more than 22,000 solo public appearances, Prince Philip retired from royal duties. His legacy, a lifetime of service to his nation and his wife, the Queen. Funeral arrangements have not yet been announced, but they are likely to revolve around Windsor, where Prince Philip died this morning. And of course, all eyes will be on the Queen. For her, the end of a love story unmatched, perhaps, since the story of Victoria and Albert. Keir Simmons, NBC News, London.
Makaya Thurman here in the WRAL Live Center. So much reaction pouring in after this tremendous loss. But the royal family just tweeted out that an online book of condolences is now available on the royal website for those who wish to send a personal message. They did say, though, due to the current public health situation, books of condolence will not be available for the public to sign. The royal family is asking that the public consider making a donation to charity instead of leaving flowers. This is all due to the COVID rules and regulations. And 15 minutes ago, President Biden sending out this statement saying Prince Philip's legacy will live on not only through his family, but in all the charitable endeavors he shaped. Jill and I are keeping the Queen and Prince Philip's children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and the people of the UK in our hearts during this time. Finally, Emmanuel Macron, within 20 minutes, just sent this tweet saying, I wish to express my sincere condolences to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, the royal family, and the British people. He said specifically, Prince Philip lived an exemplary life defined by bravery, a sense of duty, and commitment to youth and the environment. Back to you.
Thanks, Makaya. We're learning more about the relationship between a 20-year-old murder victim in Raleigh and the man charged with killing her. The man accused of killing Christina Matos was her husband. This is new at noon. Matos and Eric Hernandez Mendez received a marriage license on February 12th and were married on March 29th. Previous reports said the two were roommates. Here, her body was found inside the Signature apartment complex on Hillsborough Street on Sunday after her parents said they had not heard from her and asked police to go into her apartment to check on her. A final goodbye to a fallen officer. A funeral service is now underway for Newton Grove police officer Brent Hall. Hall died over the weekend in a single car crash in Sampson County. This morning, a procession traveled down to downtown Newton Grove. The funeral service at the Sampson Agra Exposition Center is expected to end at 2. A cruiser is parked in front of the police department building in tribute to Officer Hall.
Taking a look at stocks this noon, we can tell you the S&P 500 is hovering near a record high right now and on pace to notch a winning week. You see the Dow Jones Industrial Average there up 65 points. NASDAQ is up 12 right now. Americans are using their stimulus payments to stimulate their savings. On average, Americans have or plan to put about 42% of the latest round of federal payments into savings, with a third of that money going toward debt, and they're spending the rest, about 25% of the payment. That comes from a study from the New York Federal Reserve, which reports the percentages for the three categories, savings, debt, and spending, are relatively the same for each of the three rounds of payments.
Next at noon, more expert witness testimony in the trial of Derek Chauvin, what a forensic pathologist says about the cause of George Floyd's death.
Also, thousands of hearts painted on a wall in London. What this symbolic gesture means.
And at 12:30, only on WREL, Gilbert Bayes talks to the family of a person shot outside a Fayetteville restaurant.
You're watching WREL News, now streaming free. Download and watch live on your favorite devices today.
Micaiah Thurman here in the WREL Live Center. We have reached day 10 in the trial of the former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. Take a look at what happened this morning. So the prosecution questioned a forensic pathologist. In her testimony, Dr. Lindsay Thomas ruled out drugs as the cause of Floyd's death. She went on to say that, quote, activities of law enforcement officers resulted in Mr. Floyd's death. Take a listen.
Right. So what I observed from all of these videos is this was not a sudden death. Mr. Floyd did not, it's not like the snow shoveling where I told you somebody comes in, collapses, and, you know, clutches their chest and falls over. This was, there was nothing sudden about his death.
Very interesting testimony there. We also saw the jury, along with the witness, look at photos of Floyd's injuries. Right now, they're on a temporary break. They'll be getting started momentarily. Back to you.
Micaiah, thanks. The CDC has declared racism a serious threat to public health. The agency says racism negatively affects the mental and physical health of millions of people and consequently affects the health of our nation. The CDC has launched a web portal, Racism and Health, with the goal of starting a public discussion around the topic. Federal prosecutors now have permission to offer plea deals in some of the cases related to the Capitol riot. More than 350 people are charged for the breach. Many of their defense attorneys concede video evidence would make it hard to defend their clients in a trial. But the cases have been on hold while the Justice Department considered plea options. It's unclear who will get the deals.
Police have identified the man accused of opening fire at a Texas office, killing one person and hurting five others. Officers announced the arrest of 27-year-old Larry Ballin just after midnight. He is charged with murder, but police say more charges could be announced today. Investigators believe Ballin is an employee at the cabinet-making company where he started shooting yesterday afternoon. A motive has not been released. The sole survivor of a mass shooting in South Carolina is out of surgery. Rob Shook was working at a home when a former NFL player shot him and with six others, including his coworker, a doctor, and the doctor's family. His daughter posted late last night that he's in ICU and has a very long road ahead of him. After the shooting, police say the gunman, Philip Adams, was later found dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound in a nearby home that he shares with his parents. Investigators do not know yet what led to the shooting.
Boeing is telling some airlines to stop flying its 737 MAX jets after finding a new issue. The airplane manufacturer says it's an electrical problem. It is working with the Federal Aviation Administration to address it. Southwest Airlines says it's pulled 30 jets from service because of the issue. American has grounded 17 planes. This is just the latest problem for Boeing's MAX planes. They were grounded for nearly 2 years following a pair of crashes that killed more than 350 people. The FAA lifted the order last November after Boeing fixed the flight's control system. Thousands and thousands of hearts have been painted on a wall opposite London's Houses of Parliament to remember those lost to COVID-19. The wall along the River Thames has been near covered for a third of a mile by those red hearts. Each represents a loved one among Britain's toll of more than 125,000 people lost. People adding their loved ones' names to a heart on the wall are also sharing their stories.
I'm here to remember my granddad, and we call him Papa G. He's always been the best granddad anyone could ever have. I loved him so much, and I still do.
Yeah, just feel a little bit less alone in my grief, because COVID grief has been such an isolating thing, because we just couldn't get together with family and friends around the time that Dad died because of the restrictions. So, yeah, just to be here has been very, very therapeutic.
The group that put it together hopes to make that memorial permanent so that people will have somewhere to go to grieve and feel a bit of togetherness.
A couple in Maine has turned their love for their state into a massive treasure hunt with a $20,000 prize. They love the New England state so much that they wanted to motivate others to go out and explore. They've hidden $20,000 somewhere within state lines. To get started, residents must pay a deck of playing cards that contain the clues to lead them to the treasure. Some of the proceeds from the sale of the cards benefit the Maine Cancer Foundation. Well, it is dry right now, but clouds are building in. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner says in just a couple of hours, you might want to have your umbrella handy.
That's right. Looks like before the evening commute, we'll begin to see some of those thunderstorms cropping up. So if you did leave your umbrella in the car, you may want to go get it now because things are still quiet at the moment. We're under a level one and level two risk for severe storms. We may even have better rain chances on Saturday. It doesn't mean that the storms will be stronger, but they may start a little bit earlier tomorrow than they do today. Our temperatures remain above normal through the weekend, so it's going to stay nice and mild, even with that chance for rain. Once again, here's a look at the outline. The green area is the level one risk, where we could see some isolated storms that could produce some wind damage, gusts up to 58, 60 miles per hour. And then they may be more frequent in the level two risk area, where we could actually see an isolated tornado as well. As we take a look at our coverage for storms, though, it still looks on the low side for today. Right now, there's nothing developing. The closest thunderstorms are down into Georgia right now, so we'll be watching for that. We check out Futurecast. And yes, we're mainly clear right now, but it does look like as we head through the afternoon, the clouds continue to build and eventually the thunderstorms start to pop up. This latest run of Futurecast a little slower than the one that we were talking about earlier this morning. So this is the latest update. It still looks pretty quiet around 4 o'clock, but as we get into 5, 6, 7 o'clock, we begin to see a little bit more coverage across the area, but it's not looking that impressive. Saturday looks like we may have a better chance of more widespread scattered thunderstorms. A lot of teams played their games last night because of the threat for severe weather tonight. But if you are out with a football game, you may actually be able to get that game in without having to deal with the thunderstorms. But if a storm rolls through, if you can hear thunder, everybody needs to make sure that they can get into their cars to stay safe until it passes. 40% chance of storms late this afternoon and this evening, including 6 through 8 o'clock, and temperatures will be in the 70s. So it'll feel nice to be out there as long as the storms stay away. This is where all the severe weather is right now. Now, just because it's here doesn't mean it's going to transport itself into North Carolina. Instead, what we'll see happening as we continue to warm up the atmosphere is we'll just begin to see storms popping. So it's not that we're going to transport this into our area. But one thing that we occasionally see is we have storms down here along the Gulf Coast. They really sort of vacuum up a lot of the moisture that's coming out of the Gulf, and there's not as much of it to transport into our area. So we'll see how it all plays out. Notice as we take a look at Futurecast, we're going to jump ahead to Saturday. We have this line of thunderstorms that will be back down to our south. Saturday morning, we should be fairly dry and quiet. But as we make it closer to lunchtime, we start to see more clouds building. And then right after lunchtime, look at that, 1 o'clock, we start to see the thunderstorms developing. And at least this version of Futurecast has those storms ongoing from, say, 2 o'clock all the way through 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening. So that would be a longer duration than we're looking at for this afternoon. And, of course, the better chance for severe storms tomorrow is still back to our south and west, but we'll see if that gets pushed eastward. We'll see our cold front moving through on Sunday with some thunderstorms developing potentially on it during the afternoon. And we do have that level one severe threat as we get through the day on Sunday. We take a look at our 7-day forecast. It stays warm. Our highs will be in the 70s and 80s all the way through the next 7 days. Unfortunately, this pattern doesn't lend itself to dropping our pollen counts. We'll take a look at that coming up in just a few minutes.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Starting at 4 on WREL, it was bright yellow, the size of a battery, in a bag of kale.
And I don't know how that slipped through the cracks.
It looks like a firecracker. Five on Your Side talks with the local shopper and with Target where she bought it.
Plus, it's been 2 years tomorrow since this historic blast that rocked a Durham neighborhood. Tonight, we're talking with survivors from that explosion. Their stories only on WRAL News starting at 4. Marvel's Avengers Campus is opening soon, where you and your little ones can get up close and personal with your favorite comic heroes.
Plus, a parkour fail caught on camera, the stunt that did not happen.
Micaiah Thurman here in the WRAL Live Center. Some sad news to report. Within the last 5 minutes, DMX's family held a news conference and confirmed that the rapper and icon has died at the age of 50. This, of course, is old video from his time as a rapper and his iconic hip-hop songs, Gruff Delivery. That's what he was known for. Of course, he went to the hospital and was in a coma for a number of days. That started on Wednesday, and sources continued to say he was not doing well. He had very little brain function at this point. It is official that he has passed away at the age of 50. Back to you.
Happening tomorrow, the NC Courage will play their first game at home since they won the NWSL's Challenge Cup in 2019. Fans will be in attendance, and the team has put COVID-19 safety measures in place to keep the virus out. A WNBA team pulled its newest jersey theme from the upside-down world. The Indiana Fever gave fans a preview of its new jersey on Twitter. Fever's rebel jersey pays homage to the popular Netflix show Stranger Things. Look at that. Fans of the sci-fi show know that as the fictional town. And the New Jersey feature, the New Jersey here features a red and black design that is inspired by the show's alternate dimension. The team's name also uses the Stranger Things font for it. That's pretty cool. WNBA partnered with Nike for this and other custom uniforms in honor of the league's 25th anniversary.
Paul Rudd will have to face off against some adorable monsters in Ghostbusters Afterlife. We have your first look at the mini Stay Puft Marshmallow Men in the upcoming sequel. To find out how the supernatural crime fighters put a stop to those puffy terrors, you'll have to wait for the film to hit theaters on November 11th.
Only on WRAL, we'll show you surveillance video outside a Fayetteville bar where a bouncer was shot. An update on his condition after the break. Also, cryptocurrency is booming right now, but it's kind of confusing, don't you think? What you need to know about this growing form of currency.
This is WRAL News, your number one source for local news.
Welcome back this noon. A bouncer at a restaurant in Fayetteville is recovering after being shot in the parking lot outside that business. It happened last night at Fat Daddy's Sports Bar and Grill. WRAL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays is live for us this noon after speaking with the restaurant owner who shared security camera video of this incident. It's a story you will see only on WRAL. Gilbert.
Jeff, as you mentioned, this is Fat Daddy's. This is Rayford Road here, give you perspective. That's the All-American Freeway up there. And the incident happened in the back part of the parking lot back there, and you can see the security cameras up there. There's several cameras around the whole business and several angles on what happened last night. Let me take you to the footage here. You said it happened last night about 11 o'clock. The owner of the business says individuals in three vehicles got into a conflict with other patrons at the business when they were told that they had to put on face masks and were told they refused and started to leave. But a conflict escalated when the suspects in black pulled out a handgun, and then other patrons also pulled out their weapons. It was like a standoff there. 50-year-old Charles Parker Jr. is a security guard standing with his back to the camera. He was shot twice, fell to the ground. The suspect in the black shirt then walks across the parking lot to a Mercedes-Benz with that handgun in his hand. Kenneth Clark, who owns the business, is devastated.
Chuck was more the security guard than me. He was like my brother. You know, retired military, Marine. He just cared about people. You know, God-fearing man, loved his family, loved the people he worked with. So for something to happen to a good guy like that, it's really heavy on my heart.
Jackson was taken to Cape Valley Medical Center in critical condition. Now, Clark was told by doctors that the bullet missed his brain, but there is substantial bleeding that doctors are working to try to control and stop. We're waiting to get more information from Fayetteville Police. They, too, have reviewed this video. In it, you can see license plates, and possibly they're able to identify a suspect in this case. Jeff, at this point, though, they're still asking anyone who was out here last night and saw what happened in this parking lot to give them a call.
Scary scene, certainly there. WRL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays live for us this noon. Thanks, Gilbert. Tomorrow marks 2 years since a deadly explosion in Durham. On April 10th, a gas explosion destroyed several buildings in downtown Durham, killing two people and injuring 25 others. Investigators found a crew digging to install underground cables caused a gas line to rupture. It's still not clear what ignited it. Several lawsuits over the explosion are ongoing, each representing the victims of the blast.
Earlier in the newscast, we told you about the issues with the J&J vaccine and how some people experienced adverse reactions. The White House COVID response team just wrapped up an update on the federal government's response to the pandemic. WRL's Ken Smith is here now with what top health leaders have to say about the one-shot vaccine. Ken.
Well, Whitney, the efficacy of the J&J vaccine came up today in that White House COVID-19 response briefing. Once again, the nation's health leaders said they have confidence in that vaccine, as well as the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines. The U.S. Surgeon General, though, had this word of caution while still supporting the use of the J&J vaccine.
We still have high confidence that these vaccines are effective, but because they are not perfect is precisely why we are still urging people to be cautious. It's why we still have such an emphasis on getting the overall case numbers down.
Well, Dr. Murthy went on to say the only way to get the overall numbers down is for people to continue to get vaccinated and to continue practice safety measures like wearing a mask and social distancing. Renee.
Ken, thanks for that update.
Today, Wake County Schools could share details related to virtual academy enrollment for the next school year. We expect to find out when the district will hold a virtual open house for interested families and when the registration window will open. That date will likely be later this month or in early May to allow time for schools to finalize their schedules for next year. Most student athletes and coaches will no longer be screened for COVID-19 at our state's largest school district. Wake County Schools notified parents last night that the district is expanding its no screening policy beyond just students and teachers. The move is in line with state guidance released in the past month. However, wrestlers and wrestling coaches will still be checked as part of that state guidance.
Fayetteville State University's commencement ceremonies will not take place at the Crown Coliseum. Instead, there will be two outdoor ceremonies at the Luther Nick Gerald Stadium on campus. A limited number of tickets will be available to each of the school's more than 1,200 graduates. Meanwhile, Duke University is making some changes to its commencement ceremonies as well. The school is now allowing each graduate to bring two guests to graduation, which is happening at Wallace Wade Stadium. At first, Duke was not going to allow any guests at the ceremony, but students called for a change. WRL's Sarah Kruger spoke with one student who wrote about the commencement limitations in the student paper, the Duke Chronicle. You can find that story on WRL.com.
Well, if you're getting ready for college this weekend, you can get free one-on-one help to apply for financial aid. Several organizations are teaming up to offer a drive-in FAFSA assistance event tomorrow. Experts will be on hand at Fayetteville Technical Community College and Barton College in Wilson from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Just bring your laptop so you can get help filling out the form.
Looking to go out to eat this weekend? The Streetery in downtown Durham is moving to a new location tomorrow. This time it will be at Central Park. Outdoor seating will be from 1 to 9. The Streetery will happen on the second and fourth Saturday of each month. You're asked to wear a mask and keep your distance. And this weekend, Dine Out Downtown is taking over Glenwood South in Raleigh. Outdoor dining will be available from 5 to 9. Dine Out Downtown happens every Saturday through June. And next weekend, it's headed to the Warehouse District.
Makaya Thurman here in the WRL Live Center. We're following some breaking news just in out of the White House, where President Biden today is signing an executive order for a Supreme Court commission. Take a look at the executive order. This just being posted to the White House's website. Specifically, during the presidential campaign, Biden promised to establish a bipartisan commission of scholars to come up with recommendations to reform the court system, saying that at the time it would study a number of alternatives that go well beyond beyond, quote, court packing. That, of course, how a reference to how Democrats have commented on previous Supreme Court. So there's a number of different orders issued in this, but overall, they're hoping to overhaul the system. Back to you.
Makaya, thank you. We all know what NFL means, right? Well, now there is buzz about NFT. What does it mean? Why is everyone talking about it? An explainer to help you understand this supposed next big thing is coming up.
Plus, if you love Jurassic Park with all your heart, why not wear it on your feet when you can buy a pair of these and walk on the wild side?
By now, you've probably heard of cryptocurrency, maybe even blockchain, and perhaps in recent weeks, NFTs. It's a new world of digital collectibles attracting a lot of money, star power, and hype. Liz McLaughlin explains the whole concept can be hard to wrap your head around.
Do we have time for one more question?
The NFT craze is a phenomenon so puzzling, it was spoofed on Saturday Night Live.
Everyone's making so much money. Can you please explain what's an NFT?
NFT is short for non-fungible token, essentially a way to own a digital asset such as a tweet or GIF with a blockchain-based certificate of authenticity.
Kind of like trading cards, but digital trading cards.
In most cases, you'll need a cryptocurrency wallet to buy one. But owning the NFT doesn't mean you own the copyright, and the item can still circulate online.
You just bought the rights to say you own the official version, which for a lot of people doesn't mean that there's a lot of value.
The value is decided by how much people are willing to pay for it, which isn't small change. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey sold his first tweet for $2.9 million. A piece of digital art made by Beeple sold at a Christie's auction for nearly $70
million. Oh my God!
I really feel like we're just at the beginning of sort of scratching the surface of what this could be used for.
Topshot, a system similar to digital trading cards of NBA highlights and art, has now grossed more than $498 million. And this week, NFL star Tom Brady announced he's launching an NFT company called Autograph.
We're actually saying, hey, digital creators, we believe in what you're producing out there, and we want to invest in it. That's what the consumers are saying.
A new era of virtual collectibles, already raking in big crypto bucks. Liz McLaughlin, NBC News.
It should be noted that we're not saying the dollar amount of these sales. The actual purchases are made with cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin.
Nike has settled a legal dispute with the company behind the Satan shoes as part of a publicity campaign for rapper Lil Nas X. Mischief Product Studio will offer to repurchase the customized sneakers from consumers for their original retail prices to remove them from circulation. Lawyers for the company say the shoes were released to make a statement, and the lawsuit and publicity helped it reach far more corners than we expected. From a shoe controversy to a wild shoe collection, we have a sneak-er peek at Reebok's Jurassic Park line. For $180, you can get a bright yellow, green, and red shoe with stripes across the top and the film's dinosaur logo printed on the pump. The full collection will be available May 9th.
Thunderstorms are likely to develop across our area in the next few hours. Some of them could be severe. WRL meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner joins us after the break with what we can expect out of this level 2 threat. Beaufort looking beautiful this noon right now, but they're just on the edge of that level 1 risk for severe weather down by the beach. We're in level 2 right now. You know, as more people plan to hit the road this summer, one of the nation's most popular national parks is limiting visitors due to COVID-19. Yosemite National Park will require visitors to make reservations before they come. And anyone who signs up will get a daily pass, which will be valid for 3 days. The policy starts May 21st and lasts through the end of September. This year's National Independence Day Parade in Washington, D.C. has been canceled. The Park Service says many of the high school bands and drill teams involved can't travel due to COVID-19. They also haven't had enough time to rehearse and raise funds for the event. The National Park Service says the parade should be back next year.
Three astronauts have joined the crew at the International Space Station after an early morning liftoff.
Maximum thrust.
And liftoff. Soyuz MS-18 on its way to the International Space Station.
Liftoff was from Kazakhstan around 3:40 this morning, our time. Two Russians and one American astronaut were on board. The new crew docked to the station just after 7 this morning. Their arrival brings the total number of crew members on the ISS to 10 people. NASA will hold a briefing today ahead of the Ingenuity helicopter's first flight. The flight would be a first of its kind on another planet. The rover carried Ingenuity folded up in its belly, and after it landed, it dropped the helicopter on the ground and drove off. The first flight could come as early as Sunday.
Iran and the five world powers that remain in a foundering 2015 nuclear deal met today to take stock of efforts to build a foundation to bring the United States back on board. The delicate diplomatic dance that began earlier this week in Vienna needs to balance the concerns and interests of both Washington and Tehran. France, Germany, Britain, China, and Russia are still parties to the deal, known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, along with Iran. South Korea unveiled its supersonic jet fighter this morning, joining an exclusive club of military aviation. Once operational, the KF-21 jet is expected to be armed with a range of air-to-air and air-to-surface missiles. The twin-engine fighters will come in single- and two-seat versions. Once ground and flight tests are complete, mass production will begin, creating 100,000 jobs. The goal is 40 jets deployed by 2028.
The reigning Mrs. World has been arrested over the controversy at the Mrs. Sri Lanka beauty pageant. The newly crowned Mrs. Sri Lanka, Pushpika De Silva, filed a complaint over injuries and trauma caused by the melee that took place during Sunday's competition. So when De Silva was crowned, Mrs. World 2020 snatched it off her head and placed the crown on the runner-up. Mrs. World claimed De Silva could not be the winner because she was divorced and therefore not eligible to hold the title. Police in Western Australia are looking for a man after video shows him damaging the side of a building. It reportedly happened while he was practicing parkour moves earlier this week. He jumped onto the building and was about to scale a wall when it came crumbling down. The acrobatic trespasser is then seen jumping back to the ground, picking up his bag and walking away. Pretty good shot of him, though. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner joins us now with some new information on what kind of tropical season is in store for us.
Exactly. So, you know, we always talk about the averages. We talk about average temperatures. We talk about the average tropical season. And yesterday, Colorado State put out its first forecast for the tropical season. And, of course, we were talking about the fact that our normal is 12 named storms for the season. But just today, NOAA put out, or the National Hurricane Center, put out new normals. They do this once every 10 years, because things tend to change. We're thinking about, of course, climate change, warming up the atmosphere, and of course, each year there's new technology that comes into play. So this is the brand new normal as of this past 10 years. So previously, last year, we were dealing with the normal between 1981 and 2010. It took the averages and you come up with the normal. So we've jumped ahead now, 1991 to 2020, so it's much more updated. 14 now, that's a pretty big jump to go two more named storms as our normal. One more hurricane. Fortunately, major hurricanes stay at 3. So that means a little bit of an update to our tropical forecast from yesterday. Now, it's still 17, but it's a little bit closer to the average or to the normal. And, of course, the number of hurricanes at 7 with our forecast of 8, and our major hurricanes 3 with those being 4 for the forecast from Colorado State is a little bit closer to normal. Still likely to be a very active season, but at least it doesn't seem so far above normal now. Of course, it's a little bit, disconcerting to think, now normal is 14 named storms. Several reasons for that could be. We have an improvement in satellites. Of course, the hurricane hunters go out and fly, and they're able to really get a better idea of these storms to determine whether or not they're really tropical storms or hurricanes or not. So detailed ability to really get into these storms and see what's happening with them. Also, of course, we're warming the ocean and the atmosphere, and so it's a very likely scenario that we are actually seeing more of these storms. Let's take a look at what's happening across our area this afternoon. 77 degrees there in Durham, looking at partly cloudy skies. It's beautiful out there right now. We're not seeing any thunderstorms developing just yet. It's likely to happen much later on this afternoon. A few puffy cumulus clouds, 76 degrees there in Goldsboro, and then we'll head right over to Southern Pines, where I'm sure it's busy on the golf course. Yep, seeing people right there. 76 degrees at Longleaf Golf and Family Club. And this is a look at our potential for rain. It goes up to about 30% around 3 o'clock, 40% from, say, 4 o'clock to about 8 or 9. And after that, that chance of rain will taper off. So that's going to be our timeline for the storms. It looks like the Storm Prediction Center just updated our graphic here. And so we have a little bit more of our viewing area in that level 2 risk. It's a little bit farther south than it was when we checked in with this at the top of the newscast. And down south, also all of our counties now are in that level 1 risk. So looking like an increasing risk, but it may be 3 or 4 o'clock before we start to see some of those storms developing across our area. This is a look at Sunday. Right now, Saturday, we're not in a risk. But Sunday along and east of I-95, we're in a level 1 risk. I would recommend staying tuned as we get through the weekend in case that changes. That said, we're still looking at potentially just about a quarter of an inch of rain, which won't help to knock down our pollen too much. It's still going to be very high all the way through the weekend. Temperatures warm today, 83. We'll see temperatures in the 70s and 80s on through the next 7 days. We're back to a slight chance of a shower on Wednesday, but much of next week will be dry.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Thousands of jellyfish float into an Italian harbor. What experts say may have caused this unexpected visit.
The most experienced team of meteorologists. Weather coverage you can count on.
Thoroughly washed and ready to eat, except for this. Tonight at 6, 5 undersized Monica Liberty looks into the find made inside this bag of kale from Target.
Marvel's mightiest heroes are coming to California. The Avengers campus opens at Disney's California Adventure theme park June 4th. Thor, Black Panther, Black Widow, they'll all be there and more. They'll be walking around the land. The park was initially set to open in July of last year, but theme parks in California were shut down in March 2020. Disney's two parks in Anaheim will reopen April 30th and will operate about 15% capacity at the start. But what do you call a grouping of jellyfish? People in a northern Italian port town found out when they found a smack of jellyfish just kind of sloshed into the harbor there. Experts say these are one of the biggest types of jellyfish to be found in the Mediterranean Sea. Environmental groups said the unusual gathering was probably due to particular winds and currents that pushed them into the harbor. The marine animals remained on top of the water where the temperatures were warm and where they could find more food. Jellyfish, not good pets of the day. But this is SPCA of Wake County sends us this Venus, a 6-year-old spayed female dog weighing 12 pounds. Sweet little lap dog looking for her second chance at a family after her owner passed away and she became homeless. She's deaf and has some vision limitations. She's looking for a relaxed home where she can take it easy. Venus's adoption fee is $95 and includes her spay, microchip, and vaccines.
Here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. The vaccination site at PNC Arena is administering Pfizer vaccines today instead of Johnson & Johnson after several people had adverse reactions to the J&J shot yesterday. The CDC has already investigated the reactions and says it is safe to resume using J&J vaccines. Less than 1% of people who received a shot at PNC Arena yesterday had reactions. A 20-year-old murder victim was married to the man charged in her death. That's according to marriage records. Christina Matos and Eric Hernandez Mendez received a marriage license on February 12th. They were married on March 29th, 6 days before her body was discovered in her Raleigh apartment. Hernandez Mendez faces murder charges and is being held without bond at the Wake County Jail. Britain's Prince Philip has died at the age of 99. Buckingham Palace officials say he died this morning at Windsor Castle. Philip was the husband of Queen Elizabeth. His official title was Duke of Edinburgh. He was the longest-serving royal consort in British history.
We will continue to follow those developing headlines and much more on WRAL News when we return at 4 o'clock.
And keep it right here on WRAL as we continue to track the possibility for severe storms moving into our viewing area. Have a great day, everybody.